Good day, everyone. Great to see you all. Today, we're starting a new series in this book of Proverbs. So turn back to that first reading we had for us a minute ago. When we were planning the preaching program, we really wanted to focus on this idea of wisdom in the Bible, how to be wise in the Bible. And we realized we hadn't preached through the book of Proverbs in a long time. So we're looking forward to this, and we're due to look at the book of Proverbs. And there's something wonderful about the book of Proverbs. In fact, a number of people after church this morning told me how much they love the book of Proverbs. It's very, very different to any other part of the Bible. Christians, I think, often find this the book of Proverbs connects with them. And there's a reason for that. I think it's just partly we just get what Proverbs are. When you hear a proverb, it just speaks to you. I'm talking beyond the Bible here. Every culture, every language has proverbs. And what they are those sort of pithy sound bites of wisdom, those little sentences that capture how the world normally works and just sort of capture the reality of our experience. So if I was to just get you to think for a minute, I won't do this now, but if I was to get you to think for a minute, I reckon you'd come up with 10 or 20 proverbs just sitting on your own. And if you're thinking, no, I couldn't, just think things my grandmother used to say to me. And that will tell you, they're often proverbs. So, many hands make light work. My grandmother used to say it to me, and what it actually meant was, get off the couch, come into the kitchen and give me a hand. So, many hands make light work. It's a proverb. Strike while the iron is hot. The grass is always greener on the other side. Honesty is the best policy. They are all proverbs. And what they are is a way of distilling down into one sentence things that are just generally true, and so help you navigate life. That's how proverbs work. I've been reading a lot of books from Iceland recently. I know I'm very strange, you don't have to tell me afterwards, but I love crime fiction, and I started in Scotland, I started reading Scottish, then I finished all of that, so I went to Swedish, and then I ended up in Norwegian, but that was a bit dark, I didn't like it. So I've ended up over in Iceland, and there's a lot of Icelandic crime fiction, and I love it. I just read it, devour it. But anyway, it's actually very strange that there's Icelandic crime fiction because it's one of the places with the lowest crime rate in the world. But for some reason, they love murder mysteries. But anyway, but they also love proverbs. And often Icelandic proverbs are really obscure. Don't worry, I read translated Icelandic. I don't speak Icelandic. But one of the most obscure but common sayings in Iceland, apparently, is when you have an unexpected surprise. You know, you run into an old friend at the shops, and this is what an Icelander would say: seeing you here is like a raisin at the end of the hot dog. That is what they say in Iceland. Now, I've never had a raisin in a hot dog, but you get the picture. It's actually beautiful. It's this idea of this awful thing, a hot dog, but then you get something sweet at the end of it. But my favourite Icelandic proverb, we'll get to the Bible in a minute, but my favourite Icelandic proverb is this one: blind is the bookless man. I love that. Blind is the bookless man. You see, for me, who loves reading, that speaks to me. I am lost without books to read. In fact, if I finish a book, even if it's late at night, I'll get up and go find another book to start reading. Just because books open my eyes to the world. Books help me understand things. But I think as a Christian, even more so, we say blind is the bookless person because we say you're blind without this book. If you don't have the Bible, you are blind to understanding God and understanding the world. But enough Icelandic. The point is, whatever culture you are from, we understand proverbs. I think every culture on earth has proverbs. They connect with us. So even though these biblical proverbs were collected together 2,500 years ago, actually written a lot earlier than that, but collected together in this book 2,500 years ago, they speak right to us. And you'll get this as you read the book of Proverbs. So for example, when we open up Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it'll come up on the screen. Just look at it. It says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. You read that and you say, that is true. Now you just see that. That is true. You don't always live by it. In fact, it might make you think of the time you've given a harsh answer rather than a gentle one. But you just read it and you say, that is the truth. I know it's right. Well, you look at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. It says, arrogance leads to nothing but strife, but wisdom is gained by those who take advice. Again, we read that and we just say, that is true. It doesn't matter that we're a whole culture and 2,500 years ago from the first person to say it. We just say, that is true of anyone who lives in this world. Again, sadly, we don't always listen to advice. We don't always live by that proverb, but we know it's wise. And I think that's why people love this book of Proverbs. And I hope you get into the book of Proverbs, because it just speaks so clearly to the reality of our world, the reality of our experience, despite all our differences, if you like. So come with me. What is the book of Proverbs? Well, it's the main example of what we call in the Old Testament the wisdom book. Excuse me. So in the Old Testament, it gets broken up into three different types of books. There are the books of the law, that's Genesis, Exodus, those sort of ones. Then there are the prophets. So we often think of Isaiah and Jeremiah and those sort of, but that also includes the history books, like 1 Kings, 1 Samuel. Then there are these other writings or wisdom books, like the Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and the biggest example of that is Proverbs. Now, unlike the prophets or unlike the law, when you're reading those, they aren't written as a direct word from God. So it's not, and God said, and here is what it says. Proverbs is still God's word. It's still inspired scripture, but it's a different sort of writing. What it is it's focused on observing this world that God has made, understanding this world that God has made and understanding how it works and how to live in it. So at its heart, the idea of wisdom is about knowing how to understand this world that God has made. That's what it is. It's knowing how to live. It's knowing how to act. It's knowing how to speak. It's knowing how to think in a world that God has made. So it's really, really important to understand this as we start. You don't treat proverbs as laws. So wisdom is not law. You don't treat Proverbs like you would the Ten Commandments. When the Ten Commandments say, do not steal, that means do not steal. It's as simple as that. And so don't treat the book of Proverbs like that. If I just learn these Proverbs, I'll know how to act in every situation and I'll just do the proverb, if you like. That's not how they work, because that's not how wisdom works. Now, I'll show you what I mean. Up on the screen or on your outline, if you're following along in the outline, are two proverbs that come one after the other in the book of Proverbs. So the first is chapter 26, verse 4. Look at it with me. It says, don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. That is really good advice, isn't it? When a loud mouth is sprouting nonsense, don't get into an argument with them. If everyone on the internet just had Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4 at the top of their computer screen, the world would be a much better place, wouldn't it? You know, when that person's just saying rubbish, why do you feel the need to correct them? You know, it's just, it's not going to help anyone, and chances are you'll end up looking like a fool as well. So you don't need to correct them. But then you read Proverbs 26, verse 5. Very next verse says, answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in his own eyes. Again, that's really good advice, isn't it? As you read, you think, yeah, that's good advice. Sometimes you need to answer the fool or they'll just keep talking. Certainly in church life, sometimes there are people sprouting wrong things and there's a time to say, no, that's wrong, and correct them for the good of other people. Sometimes they need it. So there are two great pieces of wisdom, though, but they contradict each other, because that is the thing with wisdom. The wise action, the wise word, might change depending on the circumstances. Sometimes it's right to speak, sometimes it's right to stay silent. As a young man, I think I naturally followed verse 5. I think as a young man, I naturally felt any foolishness needs to be corrected. I cannot leave you in error. You know, as I've got older, and perhaps wiser, you can judge that, I've learned there is also a time for verse 4. There's a time to just let it go, as a very wise person once said. How do you decide which is right? How do you decide whether it's a Proverbs 26 verse 4 or a Proverbs 26 verse 5 moment? Well, the thing with wisdom is that to be wise when there is a decision to be made requires that you are absolutely grounded, absolutely certain of the things that do not change. You see, it's understanding and believing the unchangeable truths about God and about his world that enable you to make the wise decision when it's not clear. Have the bedrock right, and that will then give you the basis to make wise decisions in the things where it's not absolutely clear. So as we look at Proverbs together, I want you to understand this. We're not trying to learn every proverb as a rule for life. We just say, I'm going to learn that proverb, now I'll know how to act. What we actually want to learn to be is wise. That's what we want to be. We want to grow in understanding of God, grow in understanding his world correctly. Then we'll be wise to make the right and godly decision in each situation. Well, today we're looking at just the opening of the book to start our thinking. We're getting to Proverbs. Come with me to chapter 1. Then we're going to have 6 or 7 weeks through the book of Proverbs. And I want to encourage, I want to ask you to do something alongside this sermon series. I want everyone to read the book of Proverbs alongside the sermon series. So I want you to read a chunk ahead of each Sunday. You'll see at the bottom of your outline, if you look there, for next week, I want you to read Proverbs chapter 1 to Proverbs chapter 9. That's to get into it, if you like. That's a big chunk. It's going to be much smaller sections each week after that. But I want you to get into the book of Proverbs this week. Give that a go this week. You might do it alongside the habit challenge that a lot of you have signed up to do. That might be your Bible reading to help you with that as well. But now, come to Proverbs chapter 1, and we'll get to chapter 1, verse 1. Look at what it says. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." Now, Proverbs and wisdom in general in the Old Testament was always associated with King Solomon. He is the example par excellence of wisdom. Now, I'm sure you know the story of Solomon, but if you don't, you can go and read about it from 1 Kings chapter 3 in your Old Testament. When Solomon became king after the death of his father David, it wasn't guaranteed he'd become the king. He wasn't the next in line, but all sorts of political machinations happened. But God's will was that Solomon would become the king. And so he becomes the king, and then unlike other kings who pray to God and ask, "God, make me wealthy, God, make me powerful, God, give me victory over my enemies," all those sort of things, Solomon prays to God and asks God for wisdom and discernment in ruling God's people. And so God gives him the gift of wisdom. He gives him wisdom like no other person. And so Solomon becomes known as the wisest man who ever lived. Kings and queens come from all over the world just to sit at the feet of Solomon and listen to him. So right up front here it's saying, this book is that wisdom. What we have here is the wisdom of the wisest man who ever lived. Now, the whole book is not by Solomon. So again, look on your outline there. I didn't have enough room on the screen. So look on your outline. I've given you a breakup of the book of Proverbs, and you'll see that there. You'll see actually there's wisdom of Agur and Lemuel and all these other people as well. But it's Solomon's wisdom that is the basis of this book. The others are standing on the shoulders of Solomon, if you like. It's Solomon who is associated with this book more than any other. So after the introduction in verse 1, we're straight away told what the purpose of this book is for us. So look with me from verse 2. I want you to follow along this whole section. We're going to read quite a large chunk. So follow along from verse 2. It says, "For learning what wisdom and discipline are, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving wise instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man, a wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance for understanding a proverb or a parable, the words of the wise and their riddles." What you got there in those verses, 2 to 6, is the summary of what this whole book is about. It's about teaching us skills of wisdom. It's teaching us right understanding and how to think rightly and live rightly in this world that God has made. So in that summary, I think we see three things that I'm going to pull out. First of all is the what is wisdom? Then is the who needs this wisdom? And then lastly, the how do you get this wisdom? So come with me, the what is wisdom? It's really, really hard to define wisdom. It's one of those things where you see a wise person and you know they're wise, and you see a person who's not wise and you know they're not wise, but it's really, really hard to define what it is that makes them wise. See, wisdom is different to intellect. Wisdom is different to head knowledge. We all know lots of people who are very intelligent. Think of that person at school that got 100, whatever you call it now, TER in my day. Is that what you call it? ATAR, whatever it is. I don't know what they call it. But you know what I mean. Think of that person, but they're not the person you go to for advice. There are lots of really, really smart people. They know lots of stuff, but they are not wise. You don't go and ask them for their view on things. And we all know lots of people who never did very well at school. They won't win Millionaire Hot Seat or The Chase or whatever it is. But now you turn to them for advice because we just know they are wise. Well, verses 2 to 6 there help us understand what wisdom is by all the words that are in parallel with wisdom. So look with me there. Look at all the other words it talks about. It says, wisdom is related to discipline. Discipline is that ordered thinking that leads to careful, godly actions. The wise person is disciplined. They're self-controlled. They're not flighty. They're not impulsive. It's about insight, that ability to actually get to the real heart of a matter, not just judged by appearances. Ultimately, it's that insight actually to discern truth from lie, to discern right from wrong in a situation. You notice how it's tied to seeking righteousness, and it's tied to integrity. That means doing what is just, doing what is right, doing what is fair. We can sometimes think of wisdom as something only in the mind, but actually for Solomon, and more importantly for God, wisdom is about how you act. It's about how you live, and especially how we treat other people. It's about knowledge. That is a part of it. You can't be wise without knowing things. It's only as we know God's will for his world that we can be wise. The other word that you see, it's about discretion. That's that ability to just make the right decision, to choose the right course. Those are the characteristics that are the marks of wisdom. That's what God wants us to have. That's what he gave to Solomon. That then leads us into the next thing, the who. Who needs this wisdom? Look again at verse 4. It says, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. There's an old saying, you might even call it a proverb, you don't know what you don't know. Have you heard that saying? You don't know what you don't know. You cannot help being young. You cannot help being inexperienced in life and the world, but you can realize it and seek wisdom. See, there is a reality that, and I think Solomon understood this because he was a young person himself at one point. He was the young man wanting to be king before he sought God's wisdom. There is a reality that often we think we know all the answers and we don't realize how little we actually know. And as we live life, we actually grow in wisdom. Well, the book of Proverbs is designed to help us get a head start, to not have to make the mistakes before we actually become wise. That's what it's designed to do. When it talks about the young, by the way, I think in a New Testament setting, there is a different sort of youngness, which is a youngness of faith. When someone becomes a Christian as an adult, it's actually a very hard thing because you go back to being a baby. All these other people know God's word. You don't know God's word. You are young and inexperienced. Well, the book of Proverbs is here to help us be wise. But what if you're not young? Or what if you think you're already pretty wise? Often that shows you're not. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7 on the screen. It says, do not consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Generally, it's the biggest fools who think they are wise. In my experience, the wisest person is the person who recognizes that they don't know everything. The people who put themselves out there and say, I'm wise, come and talk to me, in my experience, are generally fools. But even if you are old, and even if you think you're wise, this is still for you. Look at verse 5. It says, a wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance. Wisdom is never complete. Never think I am wise enough. It's very telling that Solomon, the man who God gave such great wisdom to, Solomon ended up becoming a fool. The wisest man who ever lived threw it all away for sex and power and became a fool. We need to keep listening. We need to keep learning, keep growing if we're going to be wise and godly. So who needs wisdom? We all do. And in fact, if you think you don't, you're the person who needs it more than anyone else. Which leads us to the third thing, the how. How then do we get wisdom? It's funny, we often think of wisdom as something you either have or you haven't. We tend to put people into boxes, don't we? She's wise, he's a fool. And there is a certain truth where actually sometimes first impressions mean we that is right. There's a certain reality, take this as Phil's proverb, once people think you are a fool, they rarely change their mind. First impressions count. Whenever we're sending student ministers out to do their first full-time ministry position, I take them aside and I sit them down and I say, first impressions count. I tell them, make your first sermon short. because then everyone will think your sermons are really short, even when you preach for 50 minutes on the second week. That's what happened to me here at St. George North. My first sermon was 13 minutes long. There are still people 20 minutes later who go, Phil's, oh, he's always short and to the point, even if I've preached a 50-minute sermon. But anyway. But you see, the Bible, though, is not as defeatist as my proverb. You see, the Bible says wisdom is open to anyone. No one need remain foolish. And in fact, as God's people, that should be our goal, to grow in wisdom, to become more wise. And that light, verse 7, is the key answer to this question. Look there. And in fact, verse 7 is the key to the whole book. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. How do we get wisdom? How do we become wise? Well, it starts with the right attitude to God. Fear, we often say fear doesn't mean terror. So it doesn't mean the same thing as fear of a shark or fear of the dark or something like that. But that is actually part of it. God is to be feared. The fool approaches God lightly. The fool approaches God irreverently when God is to be feared. But here, it's especially talking about fear in the sense of reverence, fear in the sense of awe, of submission to God. The fear of the Lord expresses itself in humble faith as opposed to arrogant pride. You see, awe-filled, respectful, humble, faithful fear, that is the only appropriate response to the God who has revealed himself to us in the Scriptures. See, it's only as we learn our place that we will ever be wise. It's only if we stand in awe of how incredible God is. It's only if we stand in awe of how majestic and powerful and at the same time loving and gracious God is. It's only as we grasp how terrible and righteous is his judgment as well. It's only when we get that and then recognize how small and insignificant we are and how sinful we are, it's only then that we can ever begin to be wise. You'll see this all through Proverbs as you read it, but according to the book of Proverbs, the opposite of the wise person is the fool. Just in case you think I've been being harsh on people calling everyone fools tonight, I'm quoting the book of Proverbs. It's how the book of Proverbs speaks. Someone is either wise or foolish, or either wise or a fool. And the biggest act of folly, according to the book of Proverbs, is to fail to see and honour God for who he is. To see this world that God has made and then ignore God is the ultimate act of folly. So important to understand this. You cannot be wise just by looking at our world. You cannot be wise just by going to university. You cannot be wise just by reading a book. You can be smart. You know a lot about science. You know a lot about nature. You know a lot about psychology and sociology and the way human beings work. But you are not wise. In fact, often the biggest fools are those who the world thinks are the smartest, but who refuse to fear God. True wisdom begins with humbly accepting and trusting what God has revealed of himself in his word. When we get that right, then you can observe God's good creation and work out how to live wise and godly and fruitful lives to honor and please him. It's interesting, the more mature a person becomes as a Christian, the more wise they are, the more humble they will become, the more gracious they will become, the more aware they will become of their own sin and of their own weakness before the Lord. Wisdom begins with fearing the Lord. Turn with me now to our New Testament reading. Come with me to Matthew chapter 7. Turn over there. Because as we finish, there's one last thing we need to have in our minds as we read and study this book of Proverbs. And that is, as wonderful as the wisdom of Solomon is, it is only ever pointing forward to an even greater wisdom. There's a great passage in Luke chapter 11, where the crowds, before we get to Matthew 7, we're going to get to Matthew 7, but in Luke chapter 11, there's a great passage where the crowds are refusing to listen to Jesus. And Jesus says to them, people came from all over the earth to sit at the feet of Solomon. Well, let me tell you, now one greater than Solomon is here. See, we don't just have Solomon's Proverbs. We know Jesus. And Jesus was not just a wise man. He was the wisdom of God. Jesus was not just a wise man. He was God revealing God to us. So now, Matthew 7, that parable we read, the one about building your house on the rock rather than on the sand. That is just great wisdom, isn't it? If any of you ever buy a house, get a building inspection done before you give them any money. Because it's really wise. You want to check the foundations work. You know the house up at Bexley where Braden lives? It's built on the sand. It's one of the reasons we want to knock it down and build a new church building there. It's built. They didn't do a good job years ago. It's built on the sand. It shifts and cracks open up. And well, you ask Troy, put your hand through them sometimes. That's what happens when you don't check the foundation. If you ever get to the point of building a house, be there when the builders pour the concrete and say, is this built on solid foundations? That's great wisdom. But Jesus says, I'm only using it as a metaphor. His point is, the foundation you want for life is, look at Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. See, Proverbs tells us the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Well, the fear of the Lord shows itself most fundamentally in what you do with Jesus. The wise decision, the wisdom is to listen to Jesus. The fool ignores Jesus. The fool ignores Jesus, tries to live life how they please. The police are chasing a foolish person. Look at Matthew 7:24 again. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The wise person hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice. Most fundamentally, of course, that means turning from our sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. This is why, for the rest of the New Testament, wisdom is tied to knowing the Word of God. Listening to God's Word, that is how we find wisdom. Just as one example, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, let the message about the Messiah, the truth about Jesus, dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. How do you become wiser? By reading the Word of God. How do you become wiser? By letting the message of Jesus dwell in you, by meditating on God's Word, by soaking yourself in God's Word, by letting your brothers and sisters in Christ share God's Word with you. That is what makes us wise. Wise for salvation, first of all, but then also wise for living to please God in everything. That's why Proverbs says, the greatest blessing is to find wisdom. The greatest blessing is not wealth. The greatest blessing is not a fulfilling career. The greatest blessing is not security. The greatest blessing is not even a great relationship. The greatest blessing is to find wisdom. Nothing you can ever desire compares to being truly wise. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in Christ we find all your wisdom. And Father, we pray that we would be people who seek after wisdom. Help us to be people who fear you, who hear the word of Jesus and listen. Help us to be people who soak ourselves in your word so that we might be truly wise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.